every verse, every cross reference, and it's the more that you learn, it's you go mad.
Pastor Larry Reyes.
Okay. There's a few things. Well, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And what the Lord pressed on my heart was and is the importance of spiritual leadership. How many people here are familiar with some type of construction? Okay, so for us people that do understand, and I have a little, I'll give you a brief little background, especially for the guys from U-Turn. I was in a home myself. I spent 5.5 months in a Christian home. And I was tired of the world, and I kind of engaged in that at the age of, I think it was 19 or 20. And from that point, I never looked back. It was a hard, hard struggle to stay on the path, and it still is. But I say this in a way not to bring attention to myself, but to bring glory to God, that God is faithful to His promises. So I want to encourage you men that are there at U-Turn, stay and let the Lord show you great things, get in His Word like never before. You have a great opportunity to learn, to be at the feet of Jesus, and allow Jesus to just transform your heart. So I want to encourage you guys with that, because God's done is still doing a great work in my life. With that, the importance of spiritual leadership is really pressing on me right now, and I'll give you a little intro to why. A close family member of mine had an affair, and he's a close family, and it hit us like a ton of bricks, and I started wondering, like, why and how, and, you know, it can happen to any of us. So I started really diving into what went wrong with this situation. We hear of, you know, for me, the way that we carry the load, me and my wife, is like it was a funeral. Like somebody that we love died. And I saw the destruction of sin. And in one day, I saw this man's house being turned upside down. And I've known him for years. He was in my wedding and everything. And it's just, I mean, close family. And I never really encountered or carried something so heavy like that. So I started thinking, how did this guy allow the enemy to come in and deceive him so much that he was willing to give up his whole family to the lies of Satan? And that triggered in my heart and in my mind to research the problem of sin. And I started diving into it through Genesis, and what's interesting is that prior to that, I was laying on a Saturday morning, I was going, I want to go through the Bible. I want to go through the Bible from Genesis. So I started reading, and I stopped at chapter 5. But when the situation happened, I jumped back into chapter 3, and I started really looking at it. And I said, the question I asked you guys earlier is, do you have some sort of construction background? Some of you said yes. Some of you may be familiar with some type of remodeling or whatever it is, but in Christ, all of us that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we see the finished product. We're going home. We're saved, and we're going to be with you. That's the finished product. But what happened? What happened in Genesis? What happened in chapter 3? How did, and it's real easy for us to take this face value of, well, the woman, and then Adam didn't listen, and this and that, but what it boils down to is spiritual leadership. For us as men and where we're at now, there's just so much within our responsibility as believers, whether you're a married man or you're just called to serve God. You have a responsibility in your heart, a choice to serve God. And I pray that when I'm done with this message, that it puts the fear of God in your heart, because that's the only thing that's going to keep you from sinning. It's the only thing, because you have to fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. So let's pray before I get into it. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3. Father, we come before you this morning. And we do, Lord, we ask for you to put the fear in our hearts, Father, a fear of obedience to you. Help us surrender our life to you. Help us to live in a way, Father God, each and every day, that we're choosing to serve you and not ourselves. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, because that's the only way that it can be done. May the dependency upon your Spirit increase today for us. May all of us have in our heart a pure desire to learn from you today and from your scriptures. Nothing to do with me, Lord, but everything to do with you. So may your word transform lives today, Father. In this room right now, all these men that are here, it's a divine appointment with you. I'm just the mouthpiece to point them to you, to show them, Lord, how much you love them and what is required for them as men of God. So we ask, Lord, that you fill this place with your Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, and here's another special thing that I love. I'm with men. So, I'm not going to hold any punches. If you want me to water it down for you, then it's not going to happen. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to love you. There's going to be grace. There's going to be mercy. But I'm going to challenge you in the Spirit to step it up, to be what God has called you to be, and that's a spiritual leader. It doesn't just have to be because you got to be married or whatever. The bottom line is, even for the married man, it's between him and God and him and God alone, and he's able to allow God's power to flow in and through him, that he's able to love Christ. He's able to love his wife as Christ loved the church. It has very little to do with a happy wife and a happy life. It has to do with a life with Christ with a happy life. So that boils down to us men and us being able to take that, surrendering in our heart and saying, God, I want all of you, and I really want me to die. So, are you guys want to go on that journey with me right now?
Amen.
Let's look at this. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees, the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree on which I commanded you not to eat? The man says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit. Sorry, I have. She gave to me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all the beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Prophecy. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain, and in childbearing in your pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. and in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants in the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, and for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. There's three things that I want to look at. Placement, the curse, and our responsibility. If we can turn, or maybe it's just probably on the next page there, chapter 2. And chapter 2, give me 1 minute. Chapter 2, starting at verse 15 and 17. So the placement. You guys ready for this? Here's the placement. Everything in its right order. How many people believe God is a God of order? So the order was established in the beginning before chapter 3. Chapter 2 shows this order and why man was placed there. What his responsibility was. God created man in his likeness, and in doing so, man had direct fellowship with God. He also intended that man be the spiritual leader over all that he created. Chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Now, at that point, it wasn't for something for him to, okay, he's going to start working. And no, there was a work, but in the spiritual realm. He was that overseer. He was that spiritual leader. He named all the beasts of the field. So the placement of what God gave him and the overseeing capability, the leadership that God gave him, is so important. Because we're going to see in chapter 3 how he forfeited that. Let's look at this. I'm going to continue reading this. I'll read again 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to keep it, to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you will eat, you will surely die. Giving him direct order. Giving him direct wisdom. Giving him a layout for his walk. His fellowship with the Lord. Why the tree in the midst of the garden? What do you guys think? Why was the tree in the midst of the garden? I like to interact a little bit so that way you guys, I know you guys are listening to me. What do you think the tree was there for? Go ahead. No.
Test.
Amen. A test. A test of obedience. A test of obedience for us as men. And that's key for us to know, because how many people are still feeling that they're being tested? We look at these as trials. We say tribulations. We say temptations. But it's a testing of your faith. When it's all said and done, what is he going to tell you when he says, come into rest, good and faithful what? The testing of your faith. We're going to look at that. I just wanted to jog your mind ahead of time so that way you can see it has very little to do with us and everything to do with him. But the capabilities of us being able to be tried and tested and proved before the Lord has everything to do with your heart being pure before the Lord. Very little actions are concerned. Very little religious actions are concerned. It has everything to do with an individual relationship between you and the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Why the tree in the midst of the garden? The tree was placed for a test of obedience. When man took part of this fruit off the tree of good and evil, man forfeited his right to be the spiritual leader. God created him for this purpose, to lead and to oversee all that God had entrusted to him, and he chose, again, keyword, chose, to surrender it to the serpent's lies. Choice. We are all left with this choice to believe Satan's lies or to believe God's truth. I believe everyone here this morning is here to believe the truth and to be reminded of these truths by God's word and to live in it. Amen? That's why we're here. It's not like, okay, so you're not. No, we're here to be reassured. We're here to be encouraged. We're here to build one another up. We're here to be the man of God that God is calling us to be. And there's food. Well, man, there's food and the Word of God. We're going out. We're going to have fun. Okay? So, but the truth. Why do I emphasize on the truth? Because nowadays, you guys, nowadays, the lies are being believed so much. It's like the call for men to rise up and to stand for the truth is so vital for you right now. We haven't even begun to see the different layers that are coming. But it's going to have to do with the testing of your faith and you believing in the Word of God, because when that enemy comes, as he's coming, and he's relentless, he's going to come and he's going to twist everything and say, did God say? Did God say? And whatever situation that's faced with you, you as men need to be able to be alert, to stand in the truth, to stand in the foundation of the truth, because if you don't, you're going to lean on your own understanding and you're going to believe the lie from the pit of hell. Can you bear witness with me right now? How many times, as believers, we get caught up believing that little lie? He's so crafty in twisting it. He's so crafty in taking the Word of God and flipping it and saying, did God say? Look, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, did God actually say? You shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said, the serpent. And the woman said to the serpent, I hate technology, by the way. Normally I do. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her. And he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they flew fig leaves together, and they made themselves loincloths. At times, we always get caught up in believing Satan's lies. Did God say? Technically, this is what the Word says. Or, there's grace, brother. Whatever that lie may be, yes, there's grace. Yes, there's mercy. But are we being the spiritual leader that God has called us to be? Are we talking or taking what God has given to be the spiritual leader, to be that spiritual overseer, that you may bring glory to his name, and in doing so, you're living a life of obedience. Or you're living your life on the technicality. Well, technically this, or technically that, and I can't because of this situation. No, the encouragement here is the truth. The encouragement is the Word of God. If you cannot believe in the truth, that becomes the beginning of failure. You start to waver from it. And the way that I say this, you guys, we're men. We lean on our own understanding. If you do not lean on your own understanding, you're lying to yourself. There's just so much that where we're at now, where I'm at now, the dependency upon the truth, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit is all I want to hear. That's all I want. It's black and white. Literally, it is black and white. All the logistics that come inside of us going to church and us serving and doing all, those are just byproducts of your life of worship with the Lord. The relationship, the intimate relationship that we're to have with the Lord has to go deep and go deeper. And like, you're just wanting to go deep. It can't be based on a technicality. It can't be based on last week's message. It's got to be fresh rhema from the Word of God that God is giving to you by your own quality time, your own time that you're spending with the Lord and allowing your life to be a life of worship. The testing is so important for us, you guys. God has placed us now in His Son to be that leader as He once did in the garden, and we are still faced with a choice with the tree of good and evil. Now God will allow a testing of your faith that it may bring a life of obedience. Okay? God will allow the testing to bring a life of obedience. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. I'm going to read this book. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You will, as a man of God, as a believer, be refined. There's so much of us in the way. And for us to be able to be at a place of surrender requires this testing, this refiner's fire, this purification. So you come to a point of full surrender and saying, Father, I get it. I can't do it. I need you to help me. I need to be empowered by your Spirit to do the job you're calling me to do, to be at U-turn, to love my wife, to be whatever that case looks like for each of us here, requires a dependency upon the Holy Spirit. When you can, and here's the example that I was sharing with Bryce is, you know, when we have a time of worship, notice how we are in our body form of it, because the placement of our heart. You know how sometimes you can look at people and they're wearing their attitude on their face? Well, it's coming from the heart. You can see joy, well, that's what's in the heart. There's times where some people are just quiet that way or whatever, but you can see it. It's in the heart. So if when we come into a place of worship and worship song, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, sometimes I'm like this. I'm singing, but I'm not really kind of just letting it go. But there's a point on one of those songs that I'm fully surrendered to Christ, and whatever that song may be or whatever, I'm fully surrendered and I'm lifting my hands in surrender, because my heart and my mind, and I'm not thinking about the guy next to me who's lifting his hands and clapping. I'm not looking at the words. I'm just worshiping the Lord. And that's the lifestyle that you're to have daily. That you're waking up and you're crying out to the Father in the way that the psalmist cried out, the way that David cried out. You're crying out in the way that all of these men before us in these books cried out, with a pure communication with the Lord, recognizing their sin, but asking for help from the Father. Even so, in the New Testament, you find that Peter, after going before the council, comes out of it and says, they all get together and they say, Father, you created the heavens and the earth. And through your Son, and through your prophets, and through your Son, and all of this has come to pass. And you're calling us to do this, and we're faced with this opposition, and we can see it. But you need to empower us by your Spirit, because we can't do it. We need you to fill us from the top of our head to the bottom. And what is the next verse, I believe, says, and that whole building was shaking, and they were empowered. And this is so vital for us as believers, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk and to do and to fulfill the responsibility that God has called us to walk into. So, turn with me to verse... turn with me to verse, chapter 4, verse 6.
Is James still?
No, excuse me. Turn with me to, it's Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. We'll be looking at verse 6 and 7. Now, the curse. This year, I'm going to be talking about the responsibility, but I wanted to touch on the curse a little bit, because all of us are plagued with it. I'm hearing all the struggles that's going on, with us as men and just our own sinful struggles that we have, because we are men of God, we are saved, but we are constantly struggling with this flesh, amen? It's like it's so nerve-wracking. It's making me get gray hairs on my chin. Some of you guys got it on your head, but it is. It becomes something that we're constantly wrestling with, and it becomes to a point at an exhaustion at times that we're trying to see how do we get over this hump, and the only way to get over the hump is through the power of the Holy Spirit. To accept the failure that you have, but desiring to live a life of worship. Desiring to live in a direction of obedience. But that becomes a struggle in itself, correct? So, let's look at verse 14. Keep your finger on chapter 4, but jump with me back into Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to look at the curse real quick. I'm going to touch on it so that way you could be aware of it. And then we're going to look at our responsibility.
Glad you started with Genesis, by the way. It's just new in this book.
Yeah. Well, it's like I was telling you, and for those construction people here, and you know, Dan can attest to this, when you go and do a remodel, you're not putting layers on top of layers on top of layers on top of layers. You're going to find out if that foundation is good, especially if they're hiring you to do a wood floor. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, is this even suitable for me to lay down this foundation on here? So, I said to you, we can see the finished product. You know where you're going. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But you need to be aware, we need to be aware of the struggle that we're always faced with and what happened and the serpent's lies that are constantly coming at you. If they were coming at them in this perfect situation, they're still coming at us today. And the serpent, Satan, disguised himself in the serpent. And I guarantee you the serpent wasn't ugly. It was disguised. It was probably a beautiful animal or something. I don't know what it looked like. You know, I think of a little gecko lizard. But I know that it wasn't. I know that it wasn't some three-headed monster on, you know, and did you look at the tree and do you want to eat it? No, it was like, you know what I mean? The word cunning means shrewd. So the enemy was shrewd. And the word shrewd is really not a bad word. You think of a shrewd businessman. But shrewd, he knew how to get to her. Did God say? Well, I heard somebody say, and get this is one that you want to remember, is the enemy has a tailor-made suit for each of you. Again, the enemy has a tailor-made suit for each of you. And guess what happens? He's always trying to fit you for it. Wow. When I heard that, I got scared. But then I depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, let's go. Let's rock and roll. I'm covered by the blood. And I got power from on high. God Almighty, the great I am, has got me. But be merciful, Lord, when you allow this to come to me. Not in a way of pride, like bring it on and all ghetto mentality or whatever, but bring it. Let's go, Lord. I choose to serve you. I choose to serve you. And whatever that looks like for me, and I can't see it, let's go. I've counted the cost. Let's go, Lord. I'll come drink your cup, Father. And if I have a Peter mentality, then put me at a place that I need to be to surrender to build up the body of Christ. So, the curse. Verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all the beasts of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat in all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and that one's heavy. For the woman right there, what I got from that is like, they're constantly. And that's why the Lord says that she's the weaker vessel. It's just like, the woman's constantly going to be the one that, he didn't go to the man first. He went to the woman first. I thought that was interesting. And between your offspring, his offspring are the enemy, the devil, the demons, and this and that. And her offspring, he shall bruise her offspring, and this is prophecy of Christ. He shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise your heel. He will constantly try to trip you up. He will cripple you. He will constantly be, he's like a little chihuahua. biting at your feet, trying to cripple you up. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, and here we go, here's our curse. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And in your pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, thorns and thistles, and it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. You will work. Men, you are cursed to work. Accept it. Whatever that looks like for you. Whatever you're doing, whatever trade, whatever career, wherever you're placed at, and you get those moments, I don't want to work no more, I can't wait for retirement, and this and that, sorry. Sorry. Curse. Accept it, and it's a lot easier on you. Okay. 19. By the sweat of your face you shall eat of the bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So, there's the curse. There's something for you to be aware of. Also, there's the lie of the enemy. Be alert. He's there. He's trying to deceive you. He's got that suit made for you. Now turn with me to chapter 4 of Genesis. And we'll look at our responsibility. And we'll be closing with this right here. I know you guys are full. I'm glad that some of you are not falling asleep on me. It's all right. It'll be recorded, right? You can hear it later. Before you... Okay, you guys ready? Our responsibility. So the Lord said to Cain, this is chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. It's pretty heavy. Our responsibility, or better said, our choice, is to live a life of worship. Okay, how many people have heard that? Live a life of worship. And what does that mean? Do I get a guitar and walk around and start singing? No, there's a place in your heart that surrenders to the Lord. That's what that means. Like, I want to surrender everything to you, Lord. And I don't know what that means. I can't see it. I don't know what it looks like. But I give you my life, Lord, and help me to walk in this. Lord, you're calling me to be obedient. Well, there's an order to that, and it all begins with your heart. For you to surrender your life 100% to the Lord. And allow prayer, allow the Word of God, allow the fellowship with the brethren, to make a beautiful connection, and God will guide and lead by His Spirit, and you will see your life be transformed in a way like you wouldn't believe. Cain chose not to surrender his life fully to the Lord, and the result of his choice led to death. His brother. The matter of the heart is vital to your life of worship. If there's pride, bitterness, envy, selfishness, drunkenness, this is not a good place to be with the Lord. The Bible declares that those are the things of the flesh. And for us as men here, this should not be with a believer. If there's hatred for your brother, may the warning of Cain and Abel ring in your ears. Because the unity of your brother, it says how sweet it is to dwell with God's people in unity. I believe that's Psalms 133. See, I remember. But it's so beautiful for us to dwell together in the worship and the fellowship of the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with the family of God. And allow the iron to sharpen iron. I think it's essential to our walk. To be able to do what, you know, to have a place like this, Dan, and to come and worship and... it's great. I know you've been doing it for quite some time. I get the emails that come in all the time, and I love it. I get to see what the Lord is doing elsewhere outside of the Church of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. But, Jose, let me see my phone real quick. I got something I wanted to read to you guys. And it has to do with our responsibility. And that responsibility, or that choice, has to do with a life of obedience. I went to a men's conference two Saturdays ago, I believe, or last Saturday. And there was something that was mentioned to that Bill Welch said about worship. And I thought I'd read it with you guys. I took notes and I wrote stuff down, but I want to share this with you guys. It says, obedience is a life of worship. A life of worship has always been the way of Christian walk. We have taken the word worship and placed worship music behind it as its meaning. But worship is living a life of obedience. We can fall into rituals, religious activities that will turn our want into sacrifices. We want and need to live a life of obedience that puts our heart in a stand of worship before God and an intimate fellowship with Jesus and the Father. Maintain a pureness of heart by living a life of obedience. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Your responsibility, your choice, is laid at your feet every day for you to wake up with the pureness of heart and cry out, Abba, Father, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you in a way to do what He's called you to do. If that's just being at U-turn for Christ right now, then praise God. If that's for your job situation for you to minister over there, then praise God. If you're working on a campus at Calvary Chapel or wherever the Lord may have you, then that's what the Lord is calling you to do. And in doing so, that you and the Lord are still having that intimate fellowship with the Lord, and God is using you for divine appointments. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to have communion. And before we do communion, I want us to for those that need to repent before the Lord, for those that need to even accept the Lord, we're going to give that opportunity right now between you and the Lord. You don't need to raise your hand. If you want to, you can stand up. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. But I want to lead you in that prayer. You know, it's so important. You ask yourself, and I know a lot of these men here can sometimes look at these men of God from the Bible and really kind of take those examples like David or Abraham or Paul, and I want to be Paul, or I like Solomon and I want Solomon's way. But the importance of looking at, you know, I really love David's way of worship. David's way of worship in his heart of repentance is something that we need to take heed, because of the fact that you look at God, looking at him as he's a man after God's own heart. And I asked myself, what made him a man after God's own heart? It was his repentant heart, his way of worship, and the way that he worshiped the Lord. So right now, if you would, bow your hearts and your head before the Lord with me, and I'm going to lead you in that prayer. Whether it's a first-time confession with the Lord or a recommitment, whatever that looks like to you, it's just between you and the Lord right now. You be genuine in that repentance, and you ask the Lord to fill you, to get your heart right, to start fresh today with the Lord. For those desiring to accept the Lord, if you want to give me a show of hands, if not, we're just going to lead. We're going to lead in this prayer. For those that are recommitting, we're going to do the same. So follow my lead through this prayer. Father, I come before you, a sinner, in need of your grace. Help me, Father, and forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, past, present, and future. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross and to raise from the dead, that I may have this newness of life. I worship you, Lord, and I thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. In Jesus' name. I pray right now for these men that are recommitting their lives to the Lord. I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. that you would fall on this place, Lord. Anointing these men, each and every man right here that was faithful to wake up this morning and to hear from you, Father. Walking in by faith and sitting down here hearing your word, Father. I pray right now, Lord, fall afresh on this place, each individual, this each man here, that they would repent before you, that you would renew whatever's lacking, Father God. Restore unto them the joy of salvation. Bless them, Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit away from them, Lord, as David cried out, but create in them a pure heart, a clean heart, one that would live a life of worship and would lead to a life of obedience, Father. Full surrender. We ask this of these men, Father God. We need men to stand firm for the truth in these last days, Father. So start with this group of men and send them out wherever you want to send them out, Father. The highways and the byways to proclaim Jesus has risen, as standing for the truth and letting the world know that there is a Savior that died for their sins, Father. So bless these men, Father. And as we get ready to take part in remembrance of what the blood that was shed, Father God, and the body that was broken, may we really have an intimate fellowship with you as we do so, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. From the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So right now, have fellowship with the Lord. Take part. Take the bread. Worship the Lord. Take the drink. Accept the forgiveness. And take it as a washing. Allow the Lord to wash you.
in this freedom.
Well, thank you, men, for allowing me to come. Thank you for allowing me to be here to worship with the men. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. Fight, men. Fight. Okay? Please. We really need you to fight.
All right. Before you go, let us pray for you, man.
I'm getting here. I don't know why it's not shutting off. I'm mailing it so much.